Elders of Baia, the Fathers of Bavaria. A biographic aside surrounding the merchant and banker Meyer Emschel Rothschild claims that his known parentage name was actually Bauer. Perhaps the transformation to Rothschild, meaning Red Shield, was to effectively hide his dapper rank within the Bavarian Order of the Illuminati secret society. All the members used pseudonyms. The German name for Bavaria is Bayern. A town in Bavaria known as the home of Richard Wagner is Bayreuth, where his operas are performed annually. Perhaps the phonetic link between Bauer, or Bayer, and the Bayern Illuminati was too literal for strategic security, so Rothschild became the unique alias. Meyer conceivably may have believed that his ancestors were the authentic founders of Bavaria in the Middle Ages. Bavaria grew to be the natural native territory of the Saxon European monarchs. But Meyer Emschel was born in a Frankfurt ghetto known as Jew Alley, and was said to be the progeny of a German Jewish money changer. Perhaps Meyer Emschel originally appointed the Jesuit academic professor Adam Weishaupt to trace his lineage. An apparent explanation was possibly disclosed in Arthur Koestler's interesting study, The 13th Tribe, 1976. The Bauer family name is from the Turkic Bayer. Turkic represents a wide-ranging ethno-linguistic group of people in Eastern Europe and Asia. The theory of a Caucasian race was developed around 1800 by Johann Friedrich Blumenbach, a German scientist and classical anthropologist. Blumenbach named it after the population of the southern Caucasus region, whom he considered to be the key example for the group. Blumenbach wrote, "Caucasian variety, I have taken the name of this variety from Mount Caucasus, both because its neighborhood, and especially its southern slope, produces the most beautiful race of men, I mean the Georgian, and because all physiological reasons converge to this, that in that region, if anywhere, it seems we ought with the greatest probability to place the autochthones, birthplace, of mankind." Johann Friedrich Blumenbach, On the Natural Varieties of Mankind, 1775. In the United States, the term Caucasian has mainly been used to describe a grouping commonly called whites, as defined by the government and Census Bureau. The Aryan race theory was historically influential in Western culture in the period of the late 19th century and early 20th century. It derives from the idea that the original speakers of the Indo-European languages and their descendants up to the present day make a unique race or sub-race of the Caucasian line. Advocates of the Aryan theory speculated that Northern Europeans are related to Aramaic and Greek dialect groups in the Georgian Caucasus. While Aryan originally meant simply a neutral ethno-linguistic classification, it was later used for ideologically motivated racism in Nazi and neo-Nazi doctrines and in other currents such as occultism and white supremacist cults. As explained by Arthur Koestler, the land between the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea once formed an expansive country called Hazaria. The Hazars were Caucasian people that converted to Judaism in 740 AD as a neutral means of entering Europe between the warring Ottoman and Roman Catholic empires. While Muslim forces pined for Vienna, Hazar colonies settled through the Alps and the Black Forest. In line with location names, Bayer was foremost among that multitude. Armenian chronicles contain references to the Hazars of Mount Caucasus as early as the late 2nd century. Scholars believe they refer to Scythians, early proto-Hazars. Runes were letters used by the Saxons. The Roman Catholic Church in the Middle Ages branded the runic alphabet as sacrilegious and suppressed much of the prehistory of the Saxons. There are many arguments surrounding the runes, known as the Futhark, some saying that they originated from Caucasian Turkic alphabets. For many years the direction of the Silk Road from the south of the Hazar Sea had been used. On that direction most important scripture was undoubtedly what is called runic and the other scriptures derived from it. The nations adapted the scripture and alphabet in their language that they learned by the Easterners by ways of trade on the Silk Road, and they also taught the Westerners the scripture and alphabet that they had been trading with. M. Turgekurum, Runic Scripture Eurasia, 2002. An indefinite peer group of Hazars may have converted to Judaism in the 8th century. But the larger parts of Hazars throughout their history were Turkic populations of Tengri shamanism. the Tengri shaman outwardly derived from Troy, or Ilium, a factual and great city near the Black Sea. Location names discovered in Hittite texts are currently identified with ancient Troy, mentioned in epic poems attributed to Homer. Saxon, or Saxon, was a medieval metropolis of Hazars situated in the Volga Delta, modern-day Astrakhan Oblast, known in pre-Mongol times as Saxon Bulgar. Saxon city was situated near Atil, the old Hazar capital. The warlike Cumans inhabited Saxon province. Saxon may be an Arabized version of Saracen, Turkic for blonde city. In the 1200s, Friar Benedict Pollock associated it with the Saxons of Germany. Ptolemy's Geographia, written in the 2nd century, is believed to contain mention of the Saxons. Some copies of this text point out a tribe called Saxons in the area to the north of the lower river Elbe. The first clear indication of the Saxon name in its modern form is from 356, when Julian, later the Roman emperor, mentioned them in a speech as allies of Magnentius, a rival emperor in Gaul. Discussions of the Saxons during the 4th and early 5th centuries referred to pirates and warlords in Gaul and Britain, rather than to an ethnic group or inhabitants of a specific region. King Charlemagne eventually defeated the continental Saxons in the 8th century and converted them to Christianity. The Vikings were Scandinavian warriors from the late 8th to the mid-11th centuries that set up an Anglo-Danish reign with settlements in the British Isles. Saxon traits are inherent in Finnic and Nordic Europeans. The Ptolemaic 2nd century geographies referred to a tribe, later identified as raiders and fighters in Celtic Gaul and Britain, Saxon, which used a runic alphabet. The Saxon tribes may have derived their ancestral name from Saex, a curved knife blade or sword for which they were recognized. Sack also means to plunder and slay. The Saex sword has a lasting symbolic power in the English counties of Essex and Middlesex, both of which feature three Saexes in their ceremonial emblem. Saxon was mentioned by the Arab geographer Al-Garnadi and the Persian Qazwini, among others, and recorded as the land of the Saxons in the report of Friar Benedict Pollock about the 1246 trip of Giovanni de Pian del Carpine through the camp of Mongol Prince Batukan on the shores of the Volga. S.A. Pletnival located Saxon between present Volgograd and Oktyabinsk. Friar Benedict apparently connected the Saxon name with the Saxon of Central Europe. He guessed that at long last they became Christians and were related to those of Crimea. Some European writers have mistakenly mixed up the fair-haired, blue-eyed Turkic clans of Eurasia with Arabs and Kurds, which are different genetic groups. Ralph Bloom's Book of Runes was first published in 1983. The runes were an ancient Germanic, Old Norse, oracle consisting of 24 symbolic markings or glyphs carved into stones. Bloom described the history of the runes and the subject matter of rune casting, runemal. When originally published, R. Buckminster Fuller said, "What a wonderful thing to have done, midwife, the rebirth of an ancient oracle." The runic alphabet classification of writing originated in the 2nd or 3rd century AD and slowly went out of use after the 14th century. Runes were trusted with rich powers before the Scandinavian Eddas and Anglo-Saxon Beowulf epic. The Bayern Order of the Illuminati copied its occult ideas from a 16th century sect in Afghanistan called the Roshaniya or Illuminated Ones. The Roshaniya were gangs of aggressive bandits, linked to the Alamite assassins of Persia, from the mountains of northern Arabia who did not believe in God or an afterlife. But in order to secure local support, they masqueraded as Sufi prophets and deceptively claimed spiritual descent from helpers of Muhammad, the Ansat, who assisted in his flight from Mecca. The Roshaniya pirates sailed into Spain under the name of the Alumbrados in 1512. Certainly there was an undercurrent of things esoteric, in the most mystical sense of the word, beneath the surface of Illuminism. In this respect, the order followed exactly in the footsteps of the Knights Templars. The Templars returned to Europe after the Crusades, bringing with them a number of choice fragments of Oriental occult lore, some of which they had gathered from the Druzes of Lebanon, and some from the disciples of Hasan ibn al-Sabah, the old wizard of Mount Alamut. Manly P. Hall, Masonic Orders of Fraternity, 1950. The Roshaniya pirates were revamped in the 1770s, with the initiation of the Bayern Order of the Illuminati, Orden der Perfektibilisten or Perfektibilists. The earliest Illuminati were in fact atheist jihadists from the northwest of Pakistan whose ranks ultimately sailed to Europe and distorted the Muslim view as a decoy to deceive and fleece their victims. One of their chief targets was the Vatican. Organized by Jesuit Adam Weishaupt, the Bavarian Illuminati gained admittance to Freemasonry and was masked to appear as an offshoot of the Enlightenment in 1776. Modern writers maintain that Illuminati cronies like Rudolf von Sebottendorf, Dietrich Eckart, and Aleister Crowley helped to shape the occult core of Nazism. In our time, most European monarchs are of Bavarian lineage. This crafted the fable of a Merovingian bloodline or the descendants of medieval European kings who claim to be related to Jesus and Mary Magdalene. Yet absurdly, they do not believe themselves to be Semitic. They allege to be Caucasian. Accordingly, the feudal conspiracy of Teutonic supremacy credited its divine rights or princely powers to an inaccurate folk romance that personified racism in royal garments. The Jesuits had a monopoly on Bavaria's politics and educational system. Known for its seditious schemes and conspiracy fervor, the Society of Jesus was in effect similar to the occult orders it was allegedly fighting against. At the forefront was Bavaria. The degree of power to which the representatives of the Society of Jesus had been able to attain in Bavaria was all but absolute. Members of the order were the confessors and preceptors of the electors, hence they had a direct influence upon the policies of government. The censorship of religion had fallen into their eager hands, to the extent that some of the parishes even were compelled to recognize their authority and power. To exterminate all Protestant influence and to render the Catholic establishment complete, they had taken possession of the instruments of public education. It was by Jesuits that the majority of the Bavarian colleges were founded, and by them they were controlled. By them also the secondary schools of the country were conducted. Vernon L. Stauffer, The European Illuminati, 1918. Merchant and banker Meyer Emschel most likely launched a bolt from the blue at the proud monarchs of Europe when the Order of the Illuminati presented anthropological proof that his Bayer ancestors were probably the original founders of Bavaria. Even if they had converted to medieval Judaism, they were more Saxon by kith and kin than a mix of so-called Nordics. The Illuminati bloodline had no respect for religious conviction or religious conversion. The French Revolution brought down the overdrawn government of the French Bourbon kings. The Bastille was stormed, feudalism was done away with and the Declaration of the Rights of Man was proclaimed. Napoleon's 1799 takeover brought the revolution to an end but not before the bourgeoisie or capitalist class seized wide-ranging authority. Meyer Emschel's business prospered during the Napoleonic Wars. With the unseen aid of the Illuminati, the bourgeois trader Bauer would become the aristocrat Lord Rothschild. Some biographic sources have stated that the wealthy Rothschild bloodline is descended from Caucasian Hazars, now considered to be Ashkenazi Jews, or German Jews. In the 11th century, the Ashkenazi composed only 3% of the world's Jewish population. Today the Ashkenazi make up approximately 80% of Jews worldwide. The Hazars were semi-nomadic Turkic people. Novelist Arthur Koestler devoted his 1976 book The 13th Tribe to the topic. He supposed that the Ashkenazi or German Jews are not descended from the historical Israelites of ancient times, but from Turkic Hazars. Koestler, an Ashkenazi Jew himself, wrote that the Hazars converted to Judaism in the 8th century, and migrated westwards into Eastern Europe in the 12th and 13th centuries when the Hazar Empire was falling to Slavonic invaders. However, historians like Kevin A. Brook claimed that a sudden shift in burial customs during the mid-9th century suggests a more widespread conversion as a progression of events over time. In reality, Jewish communities had existed in the cities of the Black Sea coast since late classical times and were the only means by which Hazars could convert to Judaism. There must have been a long-standing rabbinical presence near Hazaria for any religious changes to take place. Arthur Koestler's theory is that all or most of the Ashkenazi are really Turkic Hazars. but a 2005 DNA study based on Y chromosome polymorphic markers confirmed that barely 11.5% of male Ashkenazim were found to belong to the dominant Y chromosome haplogroup in Eastern Europeans, known as RM17. There is nothing strange about this. It suggests that less than 11% of German Jews are Turkic converts, and reflects similar conversion proportions among Christians and Buddhists. Most Ashkenazim who reached Germany are not Hazars. Quite the opposite, Hazars are the so-called 1%. In 2013, mitochondrial tests showed Ashkenazim are from Western Europe, not the Middle East. The pivotal story of Hazaria is not a record of a few medieval recruits to Judaism, but a well-defined prehistory of a shared line of Saxons. It gives us a picture of their origin from Saxon city near the Black Sea, their nautical militant CX expeditions westwards by the runic Old Norse, and their final settlements in Bavaria, Bayern, which gave rise to established Saxon monarchs of Europe. The cloak and dagger authority of the Bavarian Order of the Illuminati is therefore a resourceful bloodline, the international 1%. It works like a revolving door that shuffles central political power from one ethnic group to another. The illuminated ones can be Turkic, Saxon, or Judaic, since elements of all three originated from one and the same Buyer genetic line between the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea. But the home faith or loyal belief of the cunning fathers of Bavaria came from none of the above-mentioned sovereignties. It used pompous ranks, bizarre initiation rites, esoteric symbols, and convoluted rituals. Outwardly, the Old Norse chronicles of the Futhark or runic alphabet were considered heretical and anathema by the Roman Catholic Church. Clearly, the Vatican wanted to hide the fact that the Crusades represented the greatest fratricide in memorable history. Two tribal territories, Saxon Europe and Turkic Caucasus, shared in effect the same ritual Futhark roots. Yet they exhausted entire centuries fighting over a real estate conflict to seize the holy places of Jerusalem. By the 1780s, the Illuminati had enormous connections inside every branch of authority in Bavaria and Greater Germany. Widely based were former Jesuit administrators who had revolted against the Catholic dogma but retained the political means of control. They also spread into France, Italy, Austria, Poland, and England, even to America, according to their own reports. The size and scope of the conspiracy alarmed European authorities. A resistance to Adam Weishaupt's Illuminati movement began to take shape. Baron von Nigger resigned from the order and accused Weishaupt of being a Jesuit in disguise. After Adam Weishaupt was tipped off that he would be arrested, his Illuminati associate Joseph Martin, who worked as a locksmith, sheltered him in 1785. King of France Louis XVI was also a good locksmith. But France's support of the American Revolution against England and Saxe-Gotha rule was a burden that would finish him off. It was no accident that locksmiths, like Anton Drexler, who started the German Workers' Party in 1919, were high-ranking members of the order. They set locks for massive vault doors visited only by the world's foremost bankers. Mountaintops were legendary portals that reached up to heaven. Mount Olympus, Mount Zion, and the Himalayas were renowned centers of spirituality. Mount Caucasus was of the fallen Prometheus who lifted fire from the sky. The Alpine mountains unbolted golden portals, the entry to Valhalla. Based on such myths, Teutonic vaults would plow into the rough Alps to store the world's gold bullion. The fathers of Bavaria would see to it. Under the facade of Illuminism, agents of the merchant class traded a mixed bag of goods without consent. The 18th century saw an expansion of seafaring robbers. According to author R. Buckminster Fuller, the great pirates were the actual bosses of the Enlightenment. Not only did they attack ships, but they also selected heads and rulers in different territories that relied on pirate traffic to exchange money, crops, and merchandise. Colonial slavery market economies would not have survived without them. According to a trumped-up tale, in 1771 Adam Weishaupt met a mysterious seafaring Danish merchant called Franz Kammer who had recently returned from Egypt. Kammer supposedly initiated Weishaupt into the confidence of the occult and the dreadful Alumbrados pirates. The Khmer legend first appeared in Volume 3 of Abbé Augustin Barruel's tome Against Philosophes, Freemasons, the Illuminati, and the Jacobins. Nesta Webster thought that Khmer had been known in Italy as Altotas, the teacher of Cagliostro. Giuseppe Balsamo was a mountebank illusionist who presented himself under the false title of Count Alessandro Cagliostro and claimed to be the man in charge of Egyptian Freemasonry. According to author William T. Still, the famous magician and occultist, Cagliostro, was initiated into the Illuminati in 1783. Count L.E. Coutulx de Cantelou's Les Sects et Sociétés Secrètes also questioned if Khmer was Cagliostro's alleged master, Altotas. Yet, one more theory suggests that Khmer was the masquerading role of Colonel Meyer Emschel, famous merchant and money changer of the bourgeoisie, who allegedly bankrolled the Illuminati in secret. Khmer's occult knowledge made a great impression on Weishaupt, who decided on the Egyptian pyramid as the Illuminati's emblem of authority, and inscribed using encrypted rune-like markings. An exotic sample from Persian cotton that must have interested the trader Meyer Emschel was a rare fabric called khaki or military cloth. Woven out of textiles that could not easily be counterfeited, and printed with magic symbols, financier Colonel Meyer Emschel would use it to introduce his world's first credit banknotes. When questioned on the underhandedness of the Illuminati, the Comte de Virio replied, "I can only tell you that all this is very much more serious than you think. The conspiracy which is being woven is so well thought out that it will be, so to speak, impossible for the monarchy and the church to escape from it. When the Alpine vaults were made ready to store the world's gold bullion, and shielded by Jesuit Swiss guards, a last bid was made to Europe's monarchs, your sterling gold for a patch of rag and a promise to forfeit or wrestle with a bloody guillotine. The fathers of Bavaria would see to it." In stride, Bourgeois Bauer became Lord Rothschild. One of Adam Weishaupt's titles was Patriarch of the Jacobins. The Jacobins helped to bring about the French Revolution and wore red caps, which they called Caps of Liberty or Jacobin Caps. On January 21, 1793, King Louis XVI was guillotined. His wife Marie Antoinette was beheaded some months later. The execution of the French Bourbon king was celebrated every year until Napoleon's takeover. The French government had reached a deficit that equaled 40% of the total gold output of the world during the entire 18th century. Divine rights and princely powers were abruptly substituted with a radical rule executive privilege. Heads were cut off and carted on poles throughout Paris. A leader of the Jacobins, the lawyer Robespierre, staged the Reign of Terror and as a result was guillotined in 1794. The Jacobin Club, named so because of where they met in the Rue Saint-Jacques, was the most prominent and powerful political group in the course of the French Revolution. It soon became abominable through its command of the Reign of Terror. A Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens is set in Paris and London during the French Revolution and ranks among the most celebrated works in the history of literature. It is a stirring tale of identity impersonation. Sidney Carton is mistaken for Charles Darnay, who is executed in his place. "It is a far, far better thing that I do, than I have ever done, it is a far, far better rest that I go to than I have ever known." Charles Dickens. A Tale of Two Cities, 1859. The Bayern Order of the Illuminati was modeled around the Jesuit monopoly in Catholic universities and colleges. The Illuminati were set up for political intriguing rather than in speculation. The order became more characteristic of a militia in action than a respectful society with initiations. The higher degrees were reserved for atheistic development, but the order did not show reluctance to make use of restless Jesuits such as Johann Jakob Lanz, a Catholic priest who was a messenger of the Illuminati. In 1785 Lanz was struck by lightning, and killed, while at the side of Adam Weishaupt in Regensburg. Lanz intended to travel on to Berlin and Silesia and received his last instructions from Weishaupt before he died. He had sewn in a list of Illuminati and some compromising papers in his priest's robe. Weishaupt did not know about this and became the victim of his own conspiracy. Countess Sophia Toll, The Brothers of the Night, 2000. The local police found other significant credentials at Lan's house, including suspicious guidelines for the French Revolution. Various documents were addressed to the Grand Master of the Grand Orient Lodge in Paris. Adam Weishaupt later remarked, "When my late friend Lanz was struck by lightning at my side in the year 1785 in Regensburg, what an opportunity this could have provided me to play the penitent and remorseful hypocrite, and thus gain the confidence of my persecutors." The Illuminati were decreed illegal by the Bavarian government for allegedly plotting to overthrow the papacy and all of the kings in mainland Europe. The Catholic Church prohibited its members from joining Masonic lodges, on pain of excommunication. In-depth evidence was transferred to the Bavarian government, and on August 4, 1785, a prohibition on secret societies was issued. An order to arrest Adam Weishaupt was put out with a price on his head in Bavaria. Weishaupt promptly fled to Gotha, where Ernst, Grand Duke of Saxe-Gotha, would shelter him from capture. The fathers of the Bayern Illuminati dispersed. But many influential intellectuals and shrewd politicians counted themselves as members. Originally, money was based on precious metals such as gold or silver. Banknotes were referred to as promissory notes, a pledge to pay someone in precious metal on presentation. With the removal of gold and silver from the monetary system, banknotes evolved to represent credit or fiat money. Peter Joseph's Zeitgeist film series, 2007-2011, presented a number of strategy illusions. French banknotes were not backed by the authority of the state and were limited until Louis XIV. The Scottish economist John Law helped establish banknotes as official currency consisting of French government bills and notes. In 1716, Law established the Banque Générale in France, a private bank, but three-quarters of the capital consisted of government bills and government-accepted notes, effectively making it the first central bank of the nation. John Law's monetary prototype was ultimately to blame for the abysmal economic failure in France and devaluing of the trading companies of Louisiana. Some French coins were minted in England, which considered the return of the French monarchy to authority after being ousted by Napoleon. Coins minted in London were supposedly used to pay British troops occupying parts of western France. Some coins found their way to Paris and were considered counterfeits by the monetary authorities. Allegations arose that the London Mint did not distinguish French law on coins and led to their withdrawal from circulation. The Napoleon was the colloquial term for a French gold coin. In our day, most national currencies have no backing in precious metals or commodities and have value only by fiat. In the course of an ongoing exchange of political activities, what eventually happened to all the minted gold and silver of the banking world? The autocracy of Napoleon Bonaparte started on the island of Corsica and ended by the Belgian rural district of Waterloo. Did Napoleon seize his pride from the fathers of the Bavarian Order of the Illuminati? Seemingly, links to the Bayer history enigma were still preserved through the designation of Boyar. The Boyard was a privileged class of the aristocracy, ranking directly below the ruling princes. The Boyard cliques overran Russia and Romania before Peter I abolished the influential Russian Boyarin. Due to the restricted range of cannons in the 17th century, defenses of fire between the fortifications on the French islands of Aix and Oloron did not overlap. A stronghold on Boyard Bank, about halfway between the two, would have sealed that opening. In 1692, French engineers began planning the construction of an artificial island with a fortress. However, Louis XIV's chief military designer, Vauban, warned against it, saying, "Your Majesty, it would be easier to seize the moon with your teeth than to attempt such an undertaking in such a place." The mission to engineer a fort on Boyard Bank was advanced under Napoleon Bonaparte in 1800. To facilitate the work, a dock was established on Oloron Island. The small town of Boyardville was built for the workers. Construction of earthwork continued up to 1857. But by then, the range of war artillery had greatly increased, making the fortress outmoded for national defense. Fort Boyard was used as an inhospitable armed prison before being abandoned at the start of the 20th century. Since 1990, It had been the filming site of the TV show Les Clés de Fort Boyard, by Jacques Antoine, a game to locate gold left by Napoleon at Fort Boyard. Boyard, the dire master of the fort, is a selfish, commanding, and evil person who takes immense satisfaction in making sure that fear and frustration afflict TV contestants who enter the fort with the intention of acquiring Boyard's gold. Some of the challenges that are revealed include the snake pit of flooded cellars, the giant swing inside the fort with a saw hanging from the ceiling, and the shrinking room or sliding wall heated by a boiler room. Such torture apparatus bear a stark similarity to the cruelty of Edgar Allan Poe's famous short story, The Pit and the Pendulum, 1842. It is about the suffering of a prisoner of the Spanish Inquisition, of Toledo, although Poe changes historical facts. He offers us a hint by describing a quatrain composed for the gates of a market to be erected upon the site of the Jacobin clubhouse at Paris. This brings to mind disturbed Catholic Jesuits, guided by the Illuminati Boyard, whose time was running out. The Inquisition ended during the phase of French intervention, 1808-13. Malcontent electors of the Society of Jesus promptly became crafty brethren of the Bavarian, or Bayern, Illuminati. I was sick, sick unto death, with that long agony, and when they at length unbound me, and I was permitted to sit, I felt that my senses were leaving me. Edgar Allan Poe, The Pit and the Pendulum, 1842. Fort Boyard is oval-shaped, 80 meters, 260 feet, long and 40 meters, 130 feet, wide. Poe's imagined hostage tries to measure the prison, finding that the boundary measures roughly 100 paces. The barrier has been square, but shifts its form into that of a lozenge. My cognizance of the pit had become known to the inquisitorial agents, the pit, whose horrors had been destined for so bold a recusant as myself, the pit, typical of hell and regarded by rumor as the ultima thule of all their punishments. Edgar Allan Poe, The Pit and the Pendulum, 1842. Napoleon's general LaSalle rescues Poe's sick captive, centuries after the heyday of the Spanish Inquisition. Maybe a foreboding mystery still lurks out of sight from the lookout of Fort Boyard, the Napoleonic top security prison that was constructed to conceal the early 19th century's biggest cannons and perhaps a hidden store of precious metals. The fathers of Bavaria would not say a word. The core of the Napoleon's gold legend is this: in July 1815 a lone French vessel slipped by the British blockade, bound for Cape Vincent. It crossed the Atlantic. It got past the British defenses at Louisbourg and onto the St. Lawrence. It got through several of the rapids upriver from Montreal. The ship almost made it, but as often happened in those days before the dredging of canals and the eventual opening of the seaway, it hit a shoal or capsized in a rapids and sunk somewhere upriver from Prescott, most likely in one of the treacherous channels that made the Thousand Islands region so dangerous and, to a lesser degree, still make it so today. Neither the ship nor a ship's manifest was ever found, nor was anyone quite sure of the vessel's name. Thomas Pulley Blank, Napoleon's Gold, 2011. The name Bavarian, Bavariae, means men of Baia, or fathers of Baia. It might suggest the homeland of the Celtic boy, or Bohemia. Written sources first occur in C 520. When the original Saxons first appeared, they were sea pirates who ravaged the coasts of Britain and France from their source at the base of the peninsula of Denmark. Norse clans of Baia clashed with Slavs in the eastern Alps and along the river Danube. They colonized those lands, but it is uncertain what Bavarian religious life consisted of during that time. The well-known Valhalla Temple in Donaustauf near Regensburg is perhaps an evocation of the archaic idea of Valhalla, where dead Teutonic warriors dwell in the hereafter with the god of war Odin. There, they daily struggle in endless battles, in a way resembling the mythological stewards of hell. The Nazis idolized the roots of a tireless, noble Aryan race, which were believed to have invaded India thousands of years ago from Central Asia and established a military social authority founded on strict caste distinctions. Probably the most obsessed Nazi adherent to an aggressive doctrine of Indian Hinduism was Heinrich Himmler, one of the cruelest members of the senior command. The son of a Roman Catholic schoolmaster, Himmler became head Reichsfuhrer of the SS in 1929. He later directed the Gestapo and supervised the extermination of millions of Jews. Christopher Hale, a writer and producer who created films for the BBC, detailed a 1938 Nazi mission with reference to the East in his 2006 book, Himmler's Crusade, the Nazi expedition to find the origins of the Aryan race. It was an SS undertaking led by two difficult individuals, one who was using the Nazis to pursue his own ends, and one so committed to Nazism that he later conducted racial experiments using the skulls of prisoners at Auschwitz. Reichsfuhrer Heinrich Himmler sent the explorer Ernst Schaefer to the mountains of Tibet in search of the remnants of the Aryan people, the vanished master race. As reported by Nick Howes, news director for WNSVFM, Nashville, IL, the belief was built upon by occultists all the way back to the 19th century's Madame Blavatsky and thrived in pre-Nazi Germany, which crawled with racist occult groups. By the time Himmler got to it, the story had become a very convoluted origin myth rivaling any contemporary religious or occult origin myth. For ambitious, domineering German explorer Ernst Schaefer, allowing himself to be recruited by Himmler was the only way to get the support he needed to penetrate this remote, mysterious land, which was the source of the Shangri-La myth, and the vaunted secret wisdom used to train fictional superheroes like the Shadow. Although Schaefer, now in the SS, did not subscribe to Himmler's lunacy, he agreed to investigate the myth and, somewhat more enthusiastically, did what he could, at Himmler's request, to weaken British influence. Dr. Alexander Burden, a keeper of Buddhist archives, examined how the legend of Shamhala, or fictional Shangri-La, played a role in the German contacts with the Tibetan government. The first element of Nazi occult beliefs was in the mythic land of Hyperborea Thule. Just as Plato had cited the Egyptian legend of the sunken island of Atlantis, Herodotus mentioned the Egyptian legend of the continent of Hyperborea in the far north. When ice destroyed this ancient land, its people migrated south. Writing in 1679, the Swedish author Olafred Beck identified the Atlanteans with the Hyperboreans and located the latter at the North Pole. According to several accounts, Hyperborea split into the islands of Thule and Ultima Thule, which some people identified with Iceland and Greenland. The second ingredient was the idea of a hollow earth. At the end of the 17th century, the British astronomer Sir Edmund Halley first suggested that the earth was hollow, consisting of four concentric spheres. The hollow earth theory fired many people's imaginations, especially with the publication in 1864 of French novelist Jules Verne's Voyage to the Center of the Earth. Soon, the concept of Brill appeared. In 1871, British novelist Edward Bulwer Lytton, in The Coming Race, described a superior race, the Vrilya, who lived beneath the earth and planned to conquer the world with Vril, a psychokinetic energy. The French author Louis Jacquelyot furthered the myth in Les Fils de Dieu, The Sons of God, 1873, and Les Traditions Indo-Europeans, The Indo-European Traditions, 1876. In these books, he linked Vril with the subterranean people of Thule. The Tholians will harness the power of Vril to become supermen and rule the world. Alexander Burden, The Nazi Connection with Shamhala and Tibet, May 2003. Turkic people of Tengri shamanism may derive from Troy, an ancient city discovered at Hisarlik, on the Asia Minor coast of Turkey, in 1870 by the famed German archaeologist Heinrich Schliemann. The family name Buyur is common in Turkey and Mongolia. Alexander Ksoma de Koros, Korosi Ksoma Sandor, 1784-1842, was a Hungarian scholar obsessed with the quest to find the origins of the Hungarian people. Based on the linguistic affinities between Hungarian and the Turkic languages, he felt that the origins of the Hungarian people were in the land of the Uyghurs, Uyghurs, in East Turkestan, Xinjiang, Sinkiang. He believed that if he could reach Lhasa, he would find there the keys for locating his homeland. Hungarian, Finnish, the Turkic languages, Mongolian, and Manchu belong to the Uralaltaic family of languages, also known as the Turanian family, after the Persian word Turan for Turkestan. From 1909, the Turks had a Pan-Turanian movement spearheaded by a society known as the Young Turks. The Hungarian Turanian Society soon followed in 1910 and the Turanian Alliance of Hungary in 1920. Some scholars believe that the Japanese and Korean languages also belong to the Turanian family. Thus, the Turanian National Alliance was founded in Japan in 1921 and the Japanese Turanian Society in the early 1930s. Alexander Burden, The Nazi Connection with Shamhala and Tibet, May 2003. In the 1960 book, Le Matin de Magiciens, The Morning of the Magicians, the French researchers Louis Pauwels and Jacques Bergier claimed that Karl Haushofer founded the Vril Society in Berlin in 1918. Some said that it was the inner circle of the Thule Society. As a German military advisor to the Japanese, Haushofer convinced Adolf Hitler to exploit the ancient Sanskrit swastika as the Hakenkreuz symbol for the Nazi Party. It suitably fit in with the Thule Society's search for the origins of the Aryan race. It added credibility to the standing of Tibet as the solution to a common origin for the Aryan and Turanian races and for gaining the energy of Vril that its mystical devotees supposedly possessed. Heinrich Himmler purportedly modeled the SS on the Kshatriya Hindu warrior caste. To explore Himmler and Hinduism, the International Business Times interviewed Victor and Victoria Trimondi, two writers and experts on German cultural philosophy, Hitler, Buddha, Krishna, and Unholy Alliance from the Third Reich to the present day, 2002. They researched the sham strategy by National Socialists and Fascists to make a racist Indo-Aryan warrior ideology with defiant roots in Eastern religions and philosophies. IB Times, aside from millions of Jews, Himmler was also responsible for the mass murder of up to 500,000 Roma, gypsies. Was he not aware that the Roma are also of Indian descent? Mr. and Mrs. Trimondi, he must have known it. At the same time, we should remember that Western racist intellectuals usually divided Indian society into two castes, light-skinned Aryan conquerors, priests, warriors, and merchants, and dark-skinned indigenous Dravidians or Chandalans. The latter expression goes back to a Sanskrit word Chandala, or, the untouchables. Himmler surely viewed the Roma as a part of this outcast group. Palash Argosh of the International Business Times also spoke with German historian, author, and yoga enthusiast Matthias Tietke. His books include Yoga in the Third Reich, Concepts, Contrasts, Consequences. As early as 1925, when Himmler was only 24 years old and had joined the SS, and just 2 years after Adolf Hitler's beer hall putsch, Himmler wrote, "Kshatriya caste, that is how we need to be. This is the salvation." Kshatriya caste referred to the military and ruling elite of the Vedic Hindu social system of ancient India. Himmler was deeply influenced by the Indologist, yoga scholar, and SS Captain Jacob Wilhelm Hauer of the University of Tübingen in Germany and the Italian philosopher Baron Julius Evola. Himmler had a keen interest in the Rigveda and the Bhagavad Gita. According to his personal massage therapist, Felix Kirsten, Himmler carried a copy of the Bhagavad Gita in his pocket from 1941 until his death 4 years later. The book was a translation by the German theosophist, Dr. Franz Hartmann. Nazi Germany's Fascination with Ancient India, The Case of Heinrich Himmler, International Business Times, 2012. Diaries that surfaced in Russia in 2016 revealed how Heinrich Himmler enjoyed a back rub before commanding a mass murder. The German expedition to Tibet was an extravagant exploitation to win the sympathy of the Japanese, militant samurai Zen Buddhism, and sway them to enter the Axis powers. Himmler compared Hitler to Krishna and perhaps cast himself as the character of Arjuna from the Gita. Maybe the fathers of Bavaria of the 18th century retained the Jesuit professor Adam Weishaupt and the East India Company to discover their Indo-European roots. Almost two centuries later, Germany endeavored to map out the ancient Hindu warrior caste. Prince Michael of Greece recently supposed the real Bourbon king of France was living in India. Bayur is a village in Kasaragod district in the state of Kerala, India. It is the seat of the Panchalingeshwara temple. The shape of the ornate temple resembles the back of an elephant. Kerala is home to the largest domesticated elephant population in India. Bayur means seedbed in Hindi. Baya is the name of a weaver bird in Asia and the Ganges Valley of India that makes the most complex and elegant bird nest in the world. Perhaps it was also an appropriate title for an ancient lineage of sanctuary and shrine builders. Dr. P. Gururaj Bhatt, a widely respected historian, alleged that Sri Panchalingeshwara Temple must have been constructed in 7 to 8 AD. Does Khazar, of Kasaragod, impart a muted echo of Hazar? Kerala was a major spice exporter as early as 3000 BC, according to Sumerian records. Christianity is said to have reached the coast of Kerala in 52 AD with the arrival of Saint Thomas, one of the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ. The Kerala school of astronomy and mathematics flourished between the 14th and 16th centuries. In attempting to solve astronomical problems, the Kerala school independently created a number of important mathematics concepts, including result series expansion for trigonometric functions. The shrine at Bayur was devoted to the Hindu god Shiva, also recognized as the destroyer. Kalaripayattu, regarded as the mother of all martial arts in the world, was practiced as a regional martial sport in the rural district of Bayur. Does it press the stark recollection of a Vedic warrior caste? The martial aspects of Hindu culture encouraged the extremist Germanic ideology of a prejudiced belief system that sought to combine the warrior ideology of ancient India with Aryan racism. The enthrallment with Indian culture can be found as early as the 19th century in the writings of pro-Aryan and anti-Semitic German philosophers and theosophists. In 1851, the German philosopher Arthur Schopenhauer raved about the enthusiastic spirit of the Vedas and the Upanishads, citing that his spirit is washed clean of all his early inoculated Jewish superstitions. Scholars in India and Europe have rejected the idea of an Aryan race, but myths and legends of ancient Vedic Hindu India allowed a historic flight of the imagination. The ideology of National Socialism was presented as a predestined karma of the Germanic world. Bavaria secured prying supremacy when Napoleon abolished the Holy Roman Empire. The Bayer Fathers of Bavaria enlisted accomplices who would never become familiar with the anonymous superiors commanding them from above. The Illuminati bloodline had no reverence for Judaic doctrine or religious conversion. To deal with the magical, in 2018 the German state of Bavaria ordered Christian crosses to be hung at the entrance of all of its regional government buildings. Hitler's Monsters, A Supernatural History of the Third Reich, 2017, by Eric Kurlander, is the definitive history of the supernatural in Nazi Germany, exploring its occult ideas, esoteric sciences, and pagan religions.